fans and loyal listeners. This is Ginger Black today, and hope you're having a great day. I'm with gingerblack.com. So, today I wanted to talk a little bit about a leader of one. What do I mean by that? Well, many times when we focus on leadership, we focus on people who are leading other people, right? Now, leading other people is obviously, probably for most people who get into leadership, is the end game. You want to be able to lead teams of people or whole companies or organizations. And the whole thing about leadership is getting other people to work for you, to do what you want them to do. Now, I think there's something prior to that that we don't usually focus on, and that is being a leader of one. And that one is going to be yourself. And if you can't be a leader of yourself, how in the world do you expect to lead others? It's pretty difficult, actually. Well, here's what I'll say. There are people who are able to lead other people without leading themselves. However, it's my belief that those people aren't near as successful as they could be if they learned how to be a leader of one. So how do you become a leader of one? Well, when you want to get things done by other people, what is it that you do? Do you cajole with them? Do you talk nicely to them? Do you listen to what they have to say? Probably all of those things. But when it comes to yourself, do you actually do those things? Do you cajole with yourself? Do you listen to yourself? I would bet probably not. So when you're looking to become a strong leader or become a better leader, then how do you learn to listen to yourself? How do you take into accountability that you're just as important as all the other people in the room in the decision-making process, or that you are as important as the other people in the room to get what you want, or you're as important as the other people in the organization to be heard and to be listened to? How do you hear yourself? Most of us, you know, if you ever look at yourself in a picture and you go, oh, well, this is particularly true with women, and I'm allowed to say that because I'm a woman, but when we look at ourselves in a picture or in the mirror, we find fault. We look for everything we can to find fault with ourselves. We're our own worst enemy or our best critic. It depends on how you look at it. So when you're looking at yourself in the mirror or in a picture, what if you were just to be able to say to yourself, what is it that I need today? What is it that I want to have happen? What is it that's important to me? And what are my values? How do I align myself with my values? I think one of the key aspects of leadership is believing in yourself, believing that you're a strong values person, and going after the values that are important to you and leading other people through those values. Because the work itself isn't necessarily as important when you're leading people as the way you make other people feel. People like to work for people who make them feel good about themselves. And the work eventually gets done, but how it gets done and how well it gets done are critical factors. So if you're not able to actually treat yourself the same way, then how can you treat your employees or your team to get the most out of them? Are you listening to yourself? Are you strong in your values? Are your values so important to you that it helps with your decision making? Or are they weak and you allow other people to convince you that it's okay? I always say that my strongest value is integrity. I hold myself to a very high standard with integrity. And I have worked in companies where it made me sick to go home and to not be congruent with myself and what the company's values were or what my leadership team's values were. Because if they were asking me to do something that went against my values and my integrity, then the ultimate result is your body breaks down and you become ill. So you may manifest that in a lot of different ways. Gaining weight, being sick, catching every cold that comes along, drug or alcohol dependence to escape, all of those kind of things. So when I help people, I want them to know that they're the most important person in their life. Do you treat yourself that way? There aren't many people who do. We want to be liked by other people, so we put ourselves in position where we are able to get some yes votes from people liking us. But the strongest people in the whole wide world are the ones who stick their guns to their guns about their values. They stick to their guns about what's important to them, and they will not compromise. And it doesn't matter who asks them what position that person is in. They won't compromise themselves. And I'm a little slow sometimes about that, and that's one of the reasons why I don't like to use the word struggle so much, but why I had difficulty in the corporate environment, because I wanted to be myself. I wanted to be able to stand up and say, I don't like that. And yet, that's a difficult thing to do because we're threatened with our jobs. We're threatened with the lack of money if we don't do what we're told. And again, it's not necessarily not doing what you're told. It's how you go about doing it. It's how you stand up for yourself and your values. It's how you say, I'm not willing to compromise my integrity by doing thus and so. So what's happened to me in the past is that I find myself in companies where the management asks me to do things to help my customers or to tell my customers and use the company that I'm working for as an example, when in fact I know that that's not true, that that company doesn't do what they are asking me to say, this is what you should do to fix your company. So when I stand before a client or a customer, it's important for me to be upfront with them, I'm not saying I have to blurt out every single truth that ever existed to them or every little slip up that my company might have done, but I want to stand tall in my shoes and be authentic in how I present information or materials to a prospect or a client and be able to say, I'm willing to do this for you. What are you willing to do for me? So back to a leader of one. If you are strong in your conviction about who you are, and if you're strong in your conviction about what your value system is, and if you're really aware of what that looks like and really aware of how that feels to you when it's congruent, then you can be a leader of one. And then you can be a leader of many. But if you're not able to see clearly, I remember when I was first in a personal development class, I was asked what my values were, and I wasn't even sure until I had the opportunity to discuss it, to be able to see what they meant by values. And, you know, I have always been an integrous person. I remember as a kid, I couldn't lie. I just was terrible at it. I wouldn't say I have never lied, but I'm so terrible at it that people know right away, especially my parents knew right away when I had lied. There was no hiding that from them. It didn't matter. And so I've gone my whole life through that. That works most of the time, except when I was being paid to do a job that somebody else thought their values were more important, or the company values were more important than my values. So for you to be a leader of one, if you happen to be in a job, you have to learn what your values are and learn how you can implement those in your life, not just in work, but in your life. So when you're, you know, if I can't even think of different values right now that might come to mind for some people, but when if your value is honesty, or your value is being caring, helpful, connection to people, just depends on what your, there's hundreds of values in reality. I don't know, I don't want to speak for anybody listening to this, but I'm sure you know what your values are. Once you learn what they are and know that those values that are at the top of your list, like your, say, top three or five values, if you're not living them, then you're not congruent with yourself. If you think they're really important in life and yet you avoid them, or you hide behind something else, or you go along to get along, then you're not going to be happy, you're not going to be successful. And if you're looking to get into managing others or leading others, people will read that in you before you know about it yourself. Because you will become incongruent. And when you're incongruent, your body actually rebels against you. So you may take actions that other people will pick up on and say, something's wrong here. They may not know exactly what it is, but they'll say, something's wrong here, and I don't want to be around that. That's where they feel. Now, they may have to be forced into working with you, but they may do things unconsciously to sabotage whatever it is you're working on. So your body is not going to let you lie to other people. You may be lying to yourself, and you may think you're covering it up, but if you've ever watched, there's people who do, they're body language experts, and it's because our bodies give us away when we're lying. And while a trained expert can tell you what some of those things look like, we unconsciously understand those signals better than we think we do. So again, when you start to become congruent with who you are and what you stand for, and this is a big piece of what, you know, when you're trying to find your passion, what is it that makes you be truthful with yourself, even? So anyway, This is just a start for this topic. I think we'll continue on at a later date with this because it is really important, whatever role you're in, if you can lead yourself, others will follow. So it's more important to learn about that than to learn about how to lead others, because once you start to become congruent, then you're going to be able to attract those people that will be attracted to you into your life and to be able to lead them. So thanks for joining me today. Again, it's Ginger Black, gingerblack.com. Hope you have a great rest of the day.